I can't remember, if probably we were in Philadelphia, Mississippi. I was at Grace Baptist Church. I took a group of kids to the evangelism conference that they have down in Jackson during Christmas time. Wade Morris was a pastor out of Alabama, and he was the speaker that week. And he was sharing something that I thought was pretty cool. He shared the importance that him and his wife had put on to memorizing Scripture. Well, they began to do that. They had a 2-year-old daughter that paid attention to everything that they did. So he said, you know what? We're going to start seeing if she can memorize Scripture. So at 2 years old, they started teaching their daughter to memorize Scripture. One of the Scriptures that they taught their daughter was Galatians 5:22, and so on through the fruits of the Spirit. So I get home from Jackson on that trip, and I talk with Susan. I said, you know what? We ought to try this with Katie. Katie loved to talk. You know, she's really shy now, and she's smiling and blushing back there. She knows I'm messing with her. But at 2 years old, me and Susan, we just threw out the characteristics of the fruits of the Spirit, and in 5 minutes, she knew them. And she continued and continued and continued. And it's just really cool to me how God has put inside of us the knowledge and the strength and the power through Him to memorize Scripture, to basically do anything that He wants us to do. So that's a great memory for me and Susan. The scholarships that we see here in the three categories that Shelby had laid out several weeks for us, the dispositions of the mind, love, joy, and peace, which he's already covered, qualities affecting human relationships, patience, kindness, and goodness. And if you don't have your notes, I didn't tell you, grab your notes, pew notes, and try to follow along with me. And then third, the principles that guide conduct, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this morning we will expound on these qualities that affect human relationships, which is patience, kindness, and goodness. The original language here, I'm not going to give you those Greek words, but I'll give you the definitions of them. Patience basically is the same as steadfastness or endurance or forbearance. It's the state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune without complaint or irritation. I want you to get that definition because I'm going to expound a little more on that in a little bit. Second is kindness. It's the same as uprightness or generosity. It is to provide something beneficial for someone as an act of kindness. And then thirdly, goodness. Basically, it's generosity, the act of generous giving with implication of its relationship to goodness. So let's begin with patience. You guys ready? I'm ready. Let's begin with patience. Patience basically refers to the quality of the mind that disposes us to take everything in good part and not be easily offended. Let me stop for a second and ask you, are you easy to be offended? I've been in several churches and I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard stories about so-and-so offended me years ago and we ain't talked for years. You ever heard anything like that before? So-and-so made a executive decision and I don't agree with it and it offended me. And it's not just a one-time offense, but it's something that continues to boil inside. And that's what he's talking about here, is patience refers to the quality of the mind that disposes us to take everything good in part and not be easily offended. Patience is the ability to put up with others when it's not the easiest thing to do. Can you agree with me? It's not I am not the easiest person to put up with. My wife could tell you that. My kids can tell you that. I am not the easiest because I am a human and I am made out of flesh and I am sinful man as you are as well. But we are not to be easily offended. Patience in this sense is above all a characteristic of God who is long-suffering with his rebellious creation. This is one thing I love right here. I think it's D in your notes. God is not quickly irritated with us, so we should not be quickly irritated with others. Are you quickly irritated with others? Because one thing I want to share with you real fast, there's an order here with the fruits of the Spirit. There's an order here, and I'm going to back up and I'm going to read them to you because there's a reason that God's put them in this order. And I can't remember if Shelby explained this to you, but I want to explain this to you just for a little bit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Patience is something as believers that we should have. But if you don't first have love for your neighbor, there is no way that you can be patient with them. You get that? I think Shelby expounded on that and pressed that to us for the last several weeks. If you don't have love, then you're not going to have joy. And if you don't have love and joy, then you're not going to have peace. And if you don't have love, joy, and peace, you're definitely not going to have patience. If you don't have love for your brother, regardless of race or regardless of whatever, then you're going to basically have animosity against them, not love. So when they offend you, you're going to come up with these things in your head that you think this is right for me to be offended. I'm more educated than this person. This person has no idea what they're talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm sure you see that in politics and stuff. But we're not to be easily offended as Christians. We're supposed to be patient. Because God is not quickly irritated with us, so we should not be quickly irritated with others. Parents, can we confess that we've probably been irritated with our kids this morning? And sometimes we can justify that. I heard a parent this morning, and I'm not going to call him or her out, but he rightly got on to their child this morning, and I explained to that child, hey, that was right there. The same way with me this morning with my kids. I'm sure there were times that I was not patient. But God was not so easily irritated with us. So we should not be so easily irritated with others. I want to share something with you before I read a couple scriptures to you. Have you ever heard people say, don't pray for patience? Well, I'm just going to tell you, that's a bunch of baloney. Because I'm a strong believer that I believe that we should pray for patience. And this is what I'm going to skip around in my notes a little bit. I want to share this with you, why I'm a strong believer that we should pray for patience. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you go through various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If trials make me better, then I want to be better. Do you want to be better? See, spiritual growth is hard and it causes a lot of pain. God, I'm telling you, God has been speaking to me this week. Not that I'm better than anybody, but I have been confessing sins because I want to grow in my relationship. I want to blossom in my relationship for the glory of God and not for the glory of Brad. And God has been showing me so much this week that my trials and these things that I'm going through are for the good. They're not for the bad. But it's so easy when we go through these trials and we go through these temptations and we got this person that God has put in our life that is irritating us so much that we just come up with excuses not to love them when God is basically probably putting a thorn in the flesh in your life to help make you stronger and give you an opportunity to show the fruits of the Spirit in that person's life. Psalms 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalms 86:5, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all of those who call upon you. When people irritate, offend, or provoke you, do you blow up, retaliate, or try to get even? I want you to really think about that. I mean, what is your response when people provoke you and when they irritate you? How do you respond? Do you respond in a patient way with love? I love you regardless. Are you yang, trying to get the last word in? Joy. Joy is basically, and I know Shelby expounded on it a good bit. I've heard pastors preach it the wrong way, and a lot of preachers preach it this way, that joy is basically happiness, and that's not the case. Joy is basically being okay with what God's allowed in your life. That's one of the easiest and simplest definitions I've ever heard about joy. It's being okay with what God is allowing in your life. What God, not what you, what God is allowing in your life. And then with love, joy, then peace. You're able not to fall into the mentality of making war against that person, but making peace. And we're going to talk about a little more if I can finish up my notes today. But sometimes when it comes to peace, we have to throw the white flag up and we have to submit and we have to surrender and say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about the bigger thing, which is God. So God is not easily irritated, and neither should we be. My friends, this is a great time for you to draw near to God for your troubles. When you're going through these troubles and these people are irritating you, this is a great opportunity for you to draw near to God and say, God, what am I supposed to do in this situation? James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, what? Ask God, who gives generously and above reproach. Very exciting stuff. Saw this in a commentary. Can't remember who did it because I read so many this week who said this, but I want to share this with you. Your opposition shouldn't leave you bitter, but it should leave you better. When you're in a confrontation with somebody, at the end, you should leave better, not bitter. But so many times we leave bitter, and then we, you know what happens? We fuel the fire, and we go tell Miss Lenny, you know what happened, Miss Lenny? So-and-so offended me, and not saying that Miss Lenny would gossip, but if she did gossip, then she'd go tell Miss Diane, and then Miss Diane would go tell Miss Eva, and it would continue. It happens, right? And then what happens? Bitterness sinks in. And we're supposed to leave a situation better, not bitter. I think that's pretty cool stuff. As God has been patient with us, we are to be patient with others. As believers, we are commanded to emulate our Lord's presence, which is patience. One of His main characteristics is patience. We're supposed to emulate that in our life. Second is kindness. This word relates to tender concern for others. This has nothing to do with weakness, but with genuine desire to treat others gently. Do you have that desire? When you see others, is that your desire to treat them gently? Because I want to share some with you, brothers and sisters. The Lord was gentle with you, and He's been gentle with me. As Christians, we are to show kindness by treating others the way that the Lord treated Him. How did the Lord treat us? By the greatest sacrifice of all. Laying His life down for you and me. Are you willing to do that by showing kindness? To make one of the greatest sacrifices? Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. And if you're showing God's kindness and I'm showing God's kindness to the world, what will that do? That will draw them to what? Repentance. Titus 3, 4 through 7, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Are you showing kindness to others in the way that Christ showed it to you? Because sometimes being patient is being kind. It's making that sacrifice someone's offending you, and instead of you retaliating and going back and trying to get the last word, which I know that I fall into sometimes, we need to be kind. Make a sacrifice. It's not about you. That's the problem with us as a church. It's a problem with us as Christians. It's all about us. That's why I'm growing in this, but I understand that prayer is so important. I know where I come from. I know exactly where I come from. And I know without Christ, I could not be at this church serving on staff. I know that. If it was based on my accolades, I would not be here. And that's why it's all about Him. And it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Are you showing kindness? Do you have a tender concern for others in their need? James gives us an illustration in one of the letters that he wrote about a person coming into the assembly wearing shabby clothes. And then about a rich man came in wearing a what kind of ring? Gold ring. What kind of robe? Purple robe. Showing that he had what? That he had honor. He had accolades and he was royalty. But he probably rented it, is what a lot of scholars believe. But he was coming in as he was a rich man because he knew if he came as a rich man, he would get the high place. The poor man came in as he was and got the low place. What did people do? Why was James writing to them about this? Because people in the church that said they loved Jesus were looking down on them. Oh, you might not, you don't want to believe. You know, I don't believe that story. No, they didn't break down. They ain't out of gas. No, they're just lying. They jump from church to church. Look, I've fallen into that before. That is not kindness. That is not kindness at all. That is us judging. Who am I to judge this person? Me and Randy had a great opportunity. A lady came up and said, hey, during the fall festival, I think Sylvia brought her to me, and she said, you know, leukemia, I'm down here in Memphis getting treatments and coming back through, and we ran out of gas. Big old vehicle. Held about, what, $90, $100? Big old vehicle. I didn't know her from Adam. So I went and I talked to Nancy and she passed me on to, we did, you know, talk with all the right people and ended up being able to give her gas. Randy had a great conversation, invited them to come and stay. They didn't want to. Hey, probably had to get home, being in Memphis all day. But it could have been so easy for me to say, well, I just don't believe you. I know you look like you got, I could have come up with all kinds of things, but God has not called us to be like that. He has called us to love. He has called us to be joy, show peace, patience, and then kindness. Got a little time left. Goodness gracious. Goodness has to do with the moral and spiritual excellence that is known by its sweetness and active kindness. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says this, to this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve and good and every work of faith by His power. As with every grace the Spirit provides, believers are commanded to emulate. That basically means imitate God's goodness. Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of faith. I'll give you some application here. As we've learned today, these qualities affect human relationships. How do they affect human relationships? A lack of patience, kindness, and gentleness can affect a relationship generally. Let's say that you're at work and you lack patience with a coworker and you lack kindness and you lack gentleness. Well, it's going to affect that relationship and it's going to make your job a lot harder. The same is the case with the ability to be used as a witness for God. A lack of patience, kindness, and gentleness can affect that ability to be a witness for God. If you got this person that is always causing problems and issues and they're cursing and all these things all the time, and so you separate yourself because that's the Christ-like thing to do, right? I mean, they cuss all the time, they swear, and they tell dirty jokes, so I'm going to separate myself from them. But sometimes when we separate ourselves from them, they can't see the salt and light that they need. So we need to be patient. I'm not saying conform to what they're doing, but we need to be patient with them. Be kind with them. Love them for who they are. Because at one time in your life, you wasn't who you are. You were somebody else. You were Saul. You give your life to Christ and he made you Paul. It's pretty good stuff. We need to be patient. We can't be salt and light if we separate ourselves. We need to practice these qualities. A lack of patience, kindness, and gentleness will affect your church unity, of which I'm sure many of you saints in here of old, you know that it will affect. It causes church splits. When people are not patient, church split. When people are not kind, church split. Can somebody give me an amen? I've been in a part of a church that Susan went to her whole life, and I'm not going to mention the name, but man, I tell you, when I got saved and started going to that church, I'm telling you, every business meeting, there was a fight. I'm talking about that brought scars because I'm telling you, I will not sit to this day for now, forever. I cannot sit in a business meeting if it gets heated because there's so many scars of hearing Christians fight and argue about carpet color. Paint the ceiling, man, no, that is treated wood, stain, man, it's been here since the beginning. We can't paint that. I'm talking about churches splitting because they don't want to be patient. They don't want to be kind. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Many of y'all are smiling. I think y'all know what church I'm talking about. We ain't going to get into that. Got my head for that. These are qualities that Christ portrayed perfectly. And many of you said, I hear this. Ain't nobody perfect. But Christ said, be holy as I am holy. We are to pursue righteousness. We are to pursue holiness. We are to pursue perfection. We are to pursue that. As Christians, these qualities should be, I've said this, this is the third time that I've said this. As Christians, these qualities should be emulated in our life. If you claim the name of Christ and you ain't got love in your life, you ain't got joy, you ain't got peace, you ain't got patience, you ain't got kindness, you ain't got goodness, and so on, as the pastor will continue next week, then there's a strong possibility you ain't got no fruit on your tree. And if you do, it's bad fruit. So in closing, read the scripture to you. Colossians 3, 12 through 13 says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Listen to this. Please listen to this. Verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has complained against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must forgive. I've heard it said, and I'm sure you've heard it said as well, we can't truly receive forgiveness until we forgive. I don't know how true that is, but it sounds right. Why should I expect God to forgive me if I can't forgive Dan if he's offended me? Not that Dan has offended me. But I want to expound on this last scripture here, and then I'm going to close in prayer and give us a time of invitation. Very beginning, verse 12, Paul says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I'm not going to expound on those characteristics, but I want to expound on the very first of the verse. As God's chosen ones, as the ones that has accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He is the Lord of your life. If He is the Lord of your life, as you put on clothes, as you put on clothes, Paul is saying, put on these qualities. It's not that hard as a believer. If we emulate Christ in His Word, and as Christian's disciple, we follow him and become a lifelong learner, then we will begin to take on these qualities and practice these qualities if we love him. That's not Brad, that's God. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to expound.